not seeing God. Okay. The hadith number one, the hadith is not authentic, okay? The hadith, maybe this is the reason I jumped it, or I'm not seeing God, I told you I'm not feeling God. But the hadith, the meaning that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he forbade that a woman who is foolish to be suckling the children. As I said, the hadith is not authentic, but that we have to be careful, because a foolish woman that is not responsible about what she's doing, she may breastfeeding this child today, breastfeeding the other girl tomorrow, like this will be a confusion in the community. You don't know who's the mother, because that mean will be a lot of brothers and sisters in the same community, and they don't know, because the woman itself who breastfeeding them, she's not accountable, she's not stable, okay, to know the history and to know her responsibility and to know that these things have to be kept in racket and to be known, okay. But as I said, the hadith is mursal, is not authentic. So the hadith number 976, Islam shows us that we should always try to be the upper hand, that we should always try to be giving, not always receiving, okay? And that the person always have to be feeling his responsibility and start with people who are independent on him, okay? So it's not good that you be an upper hand, but you're going to go and give into the neighbors, give into the masjid, give into the people next town, but you have your children and your wife as example, they walking with no shoes or no sandal, okay? This is not proper, okay? So a person should always start with those people that depend on him and that he is obligated towards them. And also from this hadith, we understand that the mother been put before the father in Islam, and the sister also put before the brother in Islam. That we should be concerned about our relatives, not only our immediate family, like wife and children and things like this. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us means to spend, is that we should also try to spread the blessings that Allah gave to us to the rest of the family, to keep the blood tie and the relationship among the family. What's the next hadith? Okay. Next hadith number 977. Hadith number in page number 402 عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم للمملوك طعامه وكسوته ولا يكلف من العمل إلا ما يطيق. Hadith reported by Abu Huraira in the collection of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi. The hadith is authentic. He said the mamluk, the one that you possess, like you own, like a slave, okay, male or female, it is the obligation of the master to feed him, clothe him, and not to cause him or request him or order him to do beyond his means, okay? And this is something very important we have to understand in Islam, how Islam concerned about the treatment of the slaves. is not because they are slaves, they are not a human being, but still it have to understand that we have obligation towards them, although that we owe them, that we still have obligation towards them, and part of this obligation is the feeding and the sheltering, the clothing, and also that we don't request them, order them to do work beyond their ability. Hadith number 978. وعن حكيم ابن معاوية القشيري عن أبيه رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قلت يا رسول الله ما حق زوجتي أحدنا عليه؟ قال أن تطعمها إذا طعمت وتكسوها إذا اكتسيت ولا تضرب الوجه ولا تقبح. الحديث تقدم في عشرة النساء. The hadith is authentic. This Hakim asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, what is the rights of one of us's wives over him? Okay, so we understand right away that the wives have rights over the husband. Not only the husband has a right over the wife. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to feed her, when you feed yourself, close her, when you close yourself. Okay, and don't smack or strike or beat the face, and don't curse. Okay, you use abusive words. ولا تضرب الوجه ولا تقبح. This does not mean giving permission for a man to beat his wife in other places, because they say don't beat her in the face, don't strike her in the face. That mean with no justifies reason. If there is no reason for the beating, this will be haram. But if the woman is disobedient and the man had took the steps that been maintained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his book, and this is became the last solution, if he thinks that it will be a solution for the problem, now he is permitted, but with a special way of beating, and not also to be cursing. Hadith number 979 عن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. This hadith which came in chapter concerning Hajj. ولهن عليكم رزقهن وكسوتهن بالمعروف. The same thing, the same meaning of the hadith previously, that the rights over you to provide them with their food and their clothing, and the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim. Next hadith in page number 403, hadith number 980. عن عبد الله ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كفى بالمرء إثما أن يضيع من يقوت. It is enough sin. It is enough sin for a person to neglect the ones that who are dependent on him. Your children, your wife. The people have no means of supporting themselves, and you are obligated Islamically. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showing us that this is a great sin, and that we have to be very careful and be mindful not to neglect, because not to think that this is something like a person neglecting salah, he feels that he committing sin. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us that this is part of our obligation, and if we neglected, that we be committing sin. This hadith, it's not a hadith, where is it? That is saying, okay, this Jabir, يرفعه في الحامل المتوفي, المتوفى عنها زوجها قال لا نفقة لها. This the saying of Jabir. That the pregnant woman that her husband had passed away, she has no maintenance rights. No more comments concerning this hadith for the time being. Hadith number 982 عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اليد العليا خير من اليد السفلى ويبدأ أحدكم بمن يعول تقول المرأة أطعمني أو طلقني. The hadith is حسن, okay, which is again, the upper hand is better than the one receiving, that means the one giving, and that one of you should start with the people that you are in charge of, that the woman would say that feed me or divorce me. This will be explained with the next hadith. Although that the hadith is mursal, okay, is not that authentic, but it shows you that the obligation of a man of supporting his wife, and if the man is not capable support and maintain his wife, that she will have the right to separate himself from the man, because this is his obligation, and if he was not able to fulfill this obligation, if she choose to be divorced or separated from him, that she has this right. And for the person to have to understand this is his obligation, for him to start with it before anything else to avoid such a problem. وعن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه كتب إلى الأمراء الأجناد في رجال غاب عن نسائهم أن يأخذوهم بأن ينفقوا أو يطلقوا, فإن طلقوا بعثوا بنفقة ما حبسوا. أخرج الشافعي. This is hadith, if we call it hadith, is authentic. The hadith is hasan, excuse me, the hadith is hasan, that mean is good, that Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, he sent to his representative among the people and the soldiers, those who've been away from their wives, that they have to pay their nafaqa, their maintenance, or otherwise they have to divorce. And if they decide to divorce, that mean, alaykum as-salam, they have to send whatever they owe to their wives. So again, we understand from all this hadith, which is almost similar in the meaning, the obligation of a man to support and maintain his wife to the best of his ability, and in a case that a man could not maintain his wife, that she has the right to be separated from him. Hadith number 985 عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال جاء رجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله عندي دينار قال أنفق على نفسك قال عندي آخر قال أنفق على ولدك قال عندي آخر قال أنفق على أهلك قال عندي آخر قال أنفق على خادمة قال عندي آخر قال أنت أعلم. Hadith is Hassan, is good, reported by Abu Huraira, that this man, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, trying seeking his advice concerning how he should handle his property. So he said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have a dinar which is like you say a currency. I possess such amount of money, a dinar. He said, spend it in yourself. So he said, I have another one, that mean I have more. He said, spend it in your child. He said, I have more. He said, spend it in your family, in your wife. He said, I have more. He said, spend it in your servant. He said, I have more. He said, you should know better how to spend it. So the hadith shows you that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you, that you should give your relatives and those who are dependent in you. And that the person also should see the priority. He should go about priority of spending. You don't go give your slave, okay, before giving your wife, as example, okay. And for the people who have a problem nowadays, that they don't know how to deal with their money to such a degree, that they've been going through interest and banks, if they use such advice like this, they will don't have to get into the haram. The problem is people becoming so rich because also they scare of spending. And as we understand that when the person spends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives him more, give him in return. So those people who have, they need to give their relatives, give their families, and to give as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had gave them. Last hadith in the chapter, hadith number 986, عن بهز بن حكيم عن أبي عن جدي قال قلت يا رسول الله من أبر قال أمك قلت ثم من قال أمك قال ثم من قال أمك قال ثم من قال أباك ثم الأقرب فالأقرب. The hadith is authentic. Hadith in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood and the Tirmidhi. Hadith is good. Bahz ibn Hakim came and asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, to whom I should show my kindness. He said, to your mother. He said, who comes after this? He said, your mother. He said, who comes next? He said, your mother. Three times the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling him about his mother, and after this he said that your father, and after this comes the relatives. Okay, so if somebody have any goodness in him, and especially if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him with some money, that he will start with his mother and make sure that he take a good care of her, and after this will come, as I said, should be priority in the spending, will be the father, and after this the relatives. And This does not mean for the person neglecting his obligation towards his family, but this is like the optional spending, especially if the mother have somebody else who is taking care of her. So the person for sure he have to take care of his wife and his children, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him more, now this will be optional spending he will give to his mother, his father, and the rest of the relatives. We have a small chapter concerning hadana, taking care of the children as a result of divorce, but it seems that the time is not going to allow us to do so, and this is the last chapter in the book of marriage, and after this we're going to be starting a new chapter, and so inshallah, due to the time and also due to my illness, and I hope that you excuse me in my sloppy class today, we'll try to accommodate the book of Hadana next week on the same tape, and after this we can start a new tape for the new chapter concerning offenses inshallah. الله سبحانه وتعالى نزبس سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك واتوب إليك عند الله نزبس. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة خلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's the only one worthy of praise. And He's the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to an Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah, and whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify over you that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance, alaykum as-salam, the best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. Ru'ya, turn the light off in the back, please. The light, turn it off. No. Inshallah, in today this is continuation for the previous class, so this is not a separate class. Although this class start it still goes under the book of marriage. was actually, we talked last class, which was the 8th class, Habib. So this is continuation for the class number 8, and this dealing with the subject of Hadana. And the Hadana is taken from to take somebody like in your like to keep it in to hug somebody or to raise somebody up. And so al-hadana is taken from hudn, for somebody to hug somebody, and this is related to mother being hugging her mother, which is related to meaning of being caring and loving to the child. So al-hadana, which is, you talk about custody in al-Islam, the responsibility or who deserve the right of keeping the child after separation or divorce between the husband and the wife. This in case that both husband and wife are Muslims. So this subject that we're dealing with today is related to who has the right from both parents after divorce and separation to keep the child. And we're talking about a child that he still could not take care of his own self, that he have to depend on his parents for feeding, bathing, diaper change and things like this. In this we relate to the book that we've been dealing with it, inshallah, which Bulugh al-Maram, the attainment of the objective. And we have in chapter number 14 and the page number 405, hadith number 987. عن عبد الله بن عمرو رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن امرأة قالت يا رسول الله إن ابني هذا كان بطني له وعاء وثدي له سقاء وحجري له حواء وإن أباه طلقني وأراد أن ينزعه مني فقال لها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت أحق به ما لم تنكحي. رواه أحمد وأبو داود وصححه الحاكم والحديث حسن إن شاء الله. This hadith which in the collection of Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood and al-Hakim, عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Hadith narrated by Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma, that this woman came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam complaining, and she saying that my child, my stomach used to be like a vessel for him, and my breast was a means of feeding him, and my lab was a place for carrying him, and his father had divorce me, and now he want to snatch him away from me. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her that you have the right to keep him as long as you are not remarried. So in this hadith, that the woman expressing her caring for her child, how she was caring him, being pregnant and breastfeeding and taking care of him, you understand, all during all these periods. And as a result of the divorce that happened between her and her husband, now he want to take the child. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his judgment that she has the right to keep this baby as long as she is not remarry by another, by a different man from the husband. So from this hadith we understand that the mother has the right to keep her child. She has the right of the custody of the child from her previous marriage, and in the moment that she get remarried to somebody different from the father, so now the father of the child, he has the right to take the child and to have his custody. The second hadith, which hadith number 988, this is in page number 406. Page number 406, and hadith number 988. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن امرأة قالت يا رسول الله إن زوجي يريد أن يذهب بابني وقد نفعني وسقاني من بئر أبي عنبة. فجاء زوجها فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا غلام هذا أبوك وهذه أمك فخذ بيدي أيهما شئت. فأخذ بيد أمه فانطلقت به. This hadith which in the collection of Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, An-Nisa'i, Ibn Majah, and the hadith is authentic, which is related by Abu Hurairah, may Allah please with him. This woman who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she said that my husband, that because my husband or my previous husband or my ex-husband, he want to take my child away from me, and now he became useful to me. He able to pull the water out of the well to give me, and also that he's able to assist me in my livelihood. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he put the child between both of them and say, you can choose between your father or your mother. So he chose his mother, and she took him and she kept him in her custody. So the difference between this hadith and the previous hadith, that here the child now in an age that can depend on his own self, and as a result of this, even he was able to assist his mother by getting the water out of the well, you understand, which takes some strength and some ability. And he also, if he's willing and able and capable to assist his mother, that means he can take care of his own needs, like he can bathing by himself, he can change his clothes, things like this. So in a case like this, when there is a divorce between the husband and wife, and both of them Muslims, and there is a dispute about the child, the judge will give the child the choice to choose between his mother and his father, and whosoever the child choose, he will go to be with him. Next hadith, which hadith number 989, and hadith Rafi' ibn Sanan, أنه أسلم وأبت امرأته أن تسلم فأقعد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الأمة ناحية والأبا ناحية وأقعد وقعد الصبي بينهما فمال الى امه فقال اللهم اهده، فمال الى ابيه فاخذه. اخرجه ابو داود والنسائي وصححه الحاكم. The hadith is authentic. The hadith in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood, والنسائي والحاكم. And the hadith is reported by Rafi ibn Sinan, which he became Muslim, but his wife refused to become a Muslim. And they came in dispute concerning their child. So in this case of this hadith, now we see that one of the parents are Muslim and the other parent is not Muslim. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he brought the child in the middle between both parents, the father one side, the mother one side. And the child chose his mother. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately he made dua to Allah, O Allah guide him. So the child, after the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went to his father. And according to this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made his final judgment that the child be with the father. And in this case, because that the person that going to be in charge of the child, he is not Muslim. And Islam concerning about the proper upbringing for the child. So if there is Islamic court, and if there is a Muslim man married to a Muslim woman, a Muslim man married to non-Muslim woman, that mean from the people of the book, and there is a separation or divorce, so the judge will send the child automatically to his father, because the upbringing of the child in Islam is more important than even the food and the drink. And this will apply also if one of the parents is towards Sunnah and the other person towards Bid'ah and innovation, because protection of the child for his religion is more important than anything else, and the religion comes first. And the sinner is not be trusted, neither the kafir, for the discipline and the proper direction for the child. Hadith number 990, وعن البراء بن عازب رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قضى في ابنة حمزة لخالتها وقال الخالة بمنزلة الأم. أخرجه البخاري. الخالة بمنزلة الأم. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith saying that the aunt, that means the mother sister, is in the position of the mother, in the position of the mother, from caring, love, protection. So the khala, which is the aunt, the sister mother for the child, she will love and care the child the same thing like the mother. So when there is a dispute here and the mother is not qualified to be the person to be in charge, due as example to a marriage or due to illness or any other reason, or maybe she is not making salah as example, okay, she is not practicing Islam properly, and here we can give it to the mother, we can give it to the mother sister. And the reason that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this case he gave daughter of Hamza to her aunt, for whatever reason that is not explained here, maybe that her mother been remarried, but since the aunt from the mother side available, so she will deserve it more than other relatives from the side father. If the side father didn't request for taking the custody of the child, or he was not available, so usually the female side has the right more than male side when it comes about custody, and the mother will have the right more than the father, except if there is a reason to prevent the custody. And if the mother is not available, so we give it to the father. If the father is not available, so now it comes the aunt, which is the mother's sister. Regardless if this is the reason, as I said, was marriage or was sickness or death also, okay? The next hadith number 991, page number 407, وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أتى أحدكم خادمة بطعامه فإن لم يجلسه معه فليناوله لقمة أو لقمتين. I forgot to tell you that the previous hadith is authentic, and hadith number 991 also is authentic in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. Here is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaching us the proper discipline and behavior with those people who under our possession, regardless if this person are slave or servant, that when he present your ma'ida and prepare your food, alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, that you should let him sit and eat with you. So it's not because he's your servant or that he's your slave, especially being a Muslim, he still have this brotherhood, and Islam bring both of you together in equality. So you should treat him in a nice treatment, and as a result of this, that you let him sit and eat with you. But for whatever some reason that means is not available, or you don't want to do this, at least feed him from what you eating. Don't let him be admiring this food from a distance, and he feels that he could not eat shrimp like you, okay? And at least give him a taste. This shows you how Islam is so concerned about people who under our position. And if I can make a small comment about it, if this what is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying about your servant and your slave, we should also can imagine what Islam should be saying about your wife, and that we should be concerned about them, and we shouldn't be in so selfish to such a degree that sometimes we go to restaurants outside and we have this special food, but the wife always eating in the house and always eating the leftover. This shouldn't be the way that a Muslim deal with his wife or his servant or even his slave. And from this hadith we see how Islam is so concerned about being kind and merciful towards others. Next hadith and is the last hadith in this chapter, and it is the last hadith in the book of marriage. Page number 407, hadith number 992. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال عذبت امرأة في هرة سجنتها حتى ماتت فدخلت النار فيها لا هي أطعمتها وسقتها إذ هي حبستها ولا هي تركتها تأكل من خشاش الأرض. متفق عليه. الحديث in the collection of الإمام البخاري and الإمام مسلم. The hadith is authentic. Hadith is reported by Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had punished a woman concerning a cat. This woman had locked up the cat until the cat passed away. As a result of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the woman enter hellfire. The woman, by keeping the cat locked up, didn't present her with food and water, neither she left her loose that at least can look for her food and eating from what is in the ground and different places. And the hadith shows us the seriousness of punishing the animals. Again, how you should be kind and benevolent to Allah's creation, even to animals. And the hadith shows the permissibility of keeping animals, especially the animals that cleans our houses from mice, roaches, whatever it is, that you can keep them. And even if you put them in a cage, it's okay, but you still have to present them with necessary food for them to be alive. Anything that under your responsibility, from animals what you call pets or women's children, you are responsible about them, and you have to feed them and support them and maintain them. By this hadith, inshallah, this was the completion of the 8th tape for the 5th album. And by this hadith we had finished the chapter of marriage, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.